The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Justice Minister Helen McEntee is to bring forward legislation in the area of third-party funding in legal cases. But do these plans go far enough? To talk about all of this, I'm joined by Seamus May, Chair of the International Small Business Alliance. Seamus, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what is third-party funding of legal cases?
Well, I suppose in most countries, in most jurisdictions, there's three legs under the stool of access to justice. Third-party funding being one of them, contingency fees being the second, and class actions being the third. Now, in Ireland, we've never had, we don't have class actions, we don't have contingency fees or third-party funding. Now,
Let's talk about each of those. Now, a class action, I understand. Suppose there's the small man or woman, they have been offended by some big international company. They can't possibly have a go at that company themselves. But it turns out there's another 1,000 people who have been so affected, and therefore they could mount a class action. And I suppose even if they lost, spread the costs over 1,000 people and, you know, it wouldn't be so much.
Correct. But that the class actions haven't been available in Ireland to date. That said, the EU have brought in a directive, it's Directive 2020-1828, and that's due to actually come into force this month, in December of this year, and be active from June of next year. And that will mean that we can have representative actions, in other words, groups of consumers that have been affected by a faulty product or whatever, can from now on will be able to take a class action.
Okay, so that's one problem that is, in effect, solved. Now, talk to me about contingency. Where does a contingency fee come in?
Well, a contingency fee is effectively where you go to your solicitor, and maybe you don't have any money. So you say, look, I'll give you 5%, 10%, 20%, 30%, 40% of whatever we get. But, you know, that is illegal under the Legal Services Regulation Act 2015. A solicitor cannot charge a contingency fee.
Now, do you want that to change?
Yes.
Because people might be afraid that a very smart and smarmy solicitor would persuade someone to sign on the dotted line and take nearly everything of what was won.
Yes, but the Legal Services Regulation Act is quite strict, and solicitors, you know, they have to be very responsible with how to go about this. The thing about a contingency fee, if you take ordinary business, if I had a business idea and I had certain expertise and you had other, and then there was a third person, maybe had a third set of expertise, maybe the money, we'd all come together and we'd say, well, look, I'll take 20%, you take 30%, you take whatever. But for somebody that has no money, that's taken on the big guys in Ireland, you can't do that with your solicitor. So there's no class action, there's no contingency fee.
Now, in that case, if you've got a contingency fee and you lose the case, is there any cost to the person who's signed on the solicitor with the contingency fee, or does he walk or she walk away free?
We don't have it, so we don't have
but
it.
But is
practice.
That the idea?
Yeah, the idea is that it's effectively a no fall, no fee, but with a contingency fee attached. So, like, I would be quite happy if I was stuck taking a case. I'm quite happy to go to a solicitor and agree a contingency fee. It could be 5%. It could actually be 50%. It depends on the circumstances and the company.
And what your odds are of winning
the
thing. Now, we do have no fall, no fee, though, or do we in this jurisdiction?
Yeah, we have no fall, no fee. And typically, the gravy train of personal injuries, that's nearly always done no fall, no fee, because the solicitor, the party wins 9 times out of 10, or maybe 90 times out of 100. We know that. So that solicitors are quite happy, and it doesn't take that terribly long to bring a personal injuries case through. So there's a constant conveyor belt coming through on a no fall, no fee basis usually.
Yeah. Now, the problem is, of course, that these days, if someone ends up in court and the judge finds against them for reasons of perjury, or, you know, they didn't have that sore back to the point that they climbed Crowpatrick the week before or whatever it might be, cases thrown out and costs awarded against that plaintiff. What happens with the no foul, no fee in terms of what the solicitor charges in that case?
Well, the solicitor, the party solicitor won't be charging, won't be looking for money.
No, because it's no foul, no fee,
no.
Will he be levied some of the costs that have been awarded against the plaintiff?
No, the client.
The plaintiff's on their own.
The plaintiff's on their own, and the plaintiff will have to pick up up the cost. And in fairness, it's only right because it has been, this personal injury thing has been abused over the years. So we have to bring a balance in somewhere.
Now we come to the third element of this, and that is the case of third-party funding, which seems to suggest that somebody would pay the bill who really has no involvement in the case.
Well, that's exactly what third-party funding is. In the old days, there was no such thing as third-party funding. But now almost every jurisdiction in the world has third-party funding.
What does it mean?
It means that you have a case. Typically, you're the small guy and you have to go up against some very, very big opponent, and you don't have the money to fund the case. So you agree, there's a lot of third-party funders out there now in the UK and across Europe, America, everywhere. So you agree that the third party puts in the money, be it, you know, a million. I know in the Persona case, it was supposed to be around about 10 million that was agreed. And then the third party will take a profit. They will take their money back plus a profit. And it's usually a very, very high profit. Yeah.
Now, it is a gamble because going to court is always a gamble.
It's a gamble. But these guys, like these third-party funders, they know the game. They have barristers and senior counsel working for them, and they weigh up the odds. And yes, they can lose their money.
What is the minister proposing in terms of third-party funding? Is it to be allowed?
You see, Ireland is trying to place itself as the centre in Europe for law cases now that England, the UK has gone. So we're the only English-speaking country. But like Ireland is light years behind, say, Holland, where all the cases are done through the English language. So it seems to me that we're trying to place ourselves as a place to do business, to do litigation, but we don't have the basic tools, such as third-party funding. So the minister, now this is only according to a report in the Sunday Business Post, the minister is proposing to bring in third-party funding for international arbitration cases, which I can't make sense of that, because when you're talking about international arbitration cases, these people have the money to take the case. Where the third-party funding is needed is for individuals and SMEs, be they farmers or be they small business or the individuals. They have a case and they have to be able to go get third party funding, and then they, because it's all to do with the quality of arms. So
I mean, you've no access to the courts at the moment if you've no money.
No.
The civil courts, you don't.
No. And like the courts themselves, the judiciary have acknowledged that time and time again. They've been very good, but it is up to the legislature.
A classic example would be where the small man has had an adverse drug reaction, for example, which is rare enough maybe for the particular drug, but that person knows they have been offended by this drug in some way, but they're on their own. And a third party funder might take it on knowing that if they win, there's a potentially very big payday from the drug company.
Yeah, absolutely. But then you're nearly into the area of personal injuries there. Like contract law, and even an area that I'm very familiar with is competition law. Areas like that, they attract third-party funding all over the world. I'm involved in that area. I have been for 40 years in Ireland. So,
for example, you came up with a great idea for a new product and you patented it and so on, and you have all the protections that the law can buy you, so you have it there. But then some massive company decides to copy your idea and pay you nothing.
Yes.
The costs of chasing them down for infringement of a patent would be very high.
Prohibitive, yes.
But someone else, a third-party funder, would say, well, we've got the money. This is a dead cert for us because the patent infringement is quite obvious. We'll fund that, but in exchange, we want a big payday.
X amount, yes. Yeah. Well, that's only fair and reasonable because they call it the equality of arms, and both sides should have the same powers and the same resources going into court. And at this point in time in Ireland, it is virtually impossible to take a case of any substance with the three legs of that stool with none of them in operation.
Yeah. Now, there's another area which I'm not sure if it exists in the United States. I'm just trying to recall ads I may have seen on television whereby you have a claim. And you can just, if you like, sell the claim to somebody else who'll pursue it on your behalf. And they get all the money, but they pay you a fee. Does that exist in many parts of the world?
Yes, it does. That's just, basically, that's a variant on the class action model.
This is an assignment of claims to a third party.
Yes. Yeah, well, that happens in many, many countries. I know I personally have been involved in this type of action. So if you have, say, in a competition case, and you have a company and companies that were damaged by whoever was running the cartel, so the European Commission or the National Competition Authority has made a finding. So you don't want to upset the relationship with your supplier, and you don't really have the money or the experience to take the case. So you just assign your claim to a third party who usually will accumulate a lot of claims put together, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100. Actually, in the trucks case, it's thousands and thousands, the trucks cartel case. So everybody can get on with their lives and the specialist will run the case. And, you know, the specialist will get their cut, but the vast majority goes back to the victim. Yeah.
So what do you want the minister to do in this jurisdiction?
Well, we need to open this jurisdiction up to third-party funding, full stop, for everybody. And we need to allow contingency fees. Contingency fees are literally, the fact that we haven't got these, they're barriers to justice. So we want the minister to open up these barriers that we can all, everybody, the small man included, can take a case. So personally, if I was offered a third party funding or a contingency fee arrangement, in my circumstances, I'd nearly go for the contingency fee, because it means that your legal team have bought in. So they have to work and they have to get this across the line.
And you've agreed, whatever it might be, 30, 40% of what ultimately arrives. And they know the harder they work, the more money they may win in the case, should they win, the better for everybody.
Exactly. So look at the Article 47 of the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, that explicitly calls for, even part of it is, legal aid shall be made available to those who lack sufficient resources insofar as such aid is necessary to ensure effective access to justice. So if I go into a supermarket with a knife and rob it, I will have free legal aid the next morning. But if I'm an ordinary citizen, an SME that wants to take a case, too bad. No. We've got no money. So many people.
Yeah. If you were the victim of white collar crime with no knife involved, just a fountain pen, you're not going to get that help.
Yeah, no, you're not going to. And that is the big, big problem with Ireland, with taking a case in Ireland.
Seamus, a very compelling case you make. Seamus May, Chair of the International Small Business Alliance. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.